This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
FM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio is, of course, Philip C. It is just gone past 7:06 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 10th of June.
Yes, relatively red day yesterday in the US. Dow was down 0.4%. S&P also in a negative territory at 0.2%. Nasdaq was down 0.1%. A crossover at Asia, with the exception of Shanghai, which was up 0.3%. Hang Seng was down 0.1%. And Nikkei, Singapore, and FBM, KLCI at home, all down at 0.4% each, respectively.
So, to help us make some headway into why markets are in the red, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Now, you know, US equity markets seem to be trading in a rather tight range. What do you think the catalyst is going to be for markets to move either up or down?
Sure. Everyone's waiting for the Fed tomorrow morning, or Thursday morning, sorry. To understand what direction and at what pace the Fed will tighten, if they tighten or they twist or whatever they do. So it's very much a Fed and stimulus driven market, and people are waiting for the Fed to give them the the sign for what's next.
And Tony, can I get your perspective on meme stocks like AMC, Clover Health? What's happening there? Because yesterday there was a bit of downward pressure on them.
I mean, they're fun when you're in the market with them, right? I mean, but you have to keep an eye on them all the time. I was talking to somebody earlier today who said they just bought one for fun. I think it was this morning, and 20 minutes later, they had made like 40% on their money, and so they sold out. So, you know, you just have to keep an eye on it minute by minute. So if you're in Asia trading meme stocks, it's going to be a late night for you. But during the day here, people will buy in. They'll see what happens. If they're losing, you know, too much, they'll sell quickly. If they're making money, they'll sell it on once they hit their target.
So, Tony, you're basically saying that all these trades have almost no fundamental basis in terms of valuations. It's just momentum, is it?
No. We're at that point in the cycle where, you know, you've been on a small cap and make 40%. I mean, you know, it's you're not seeing much movement at all in the large cap stocks. You're not seeing much movement at all in the indices. And so it's, you know, we've really kind of gone to the long tail to see where the action is. And that's really in my mind, kind of a scary time for the market. So, and the Fed knows this. They're smart people. So they know that people are effectively gambling. So you've seen the kind of fizz come out of cryptocurrencies over the past month. I wonder how that will happen, or I expect the fizz to come out of equities, or at least some of these more risky equities with some sort of Fed discussion.
So will they fall dramatically like what we saw with Bitcoin? I mean, at one time, Bitcoin was up almost close to 100%, and then on a year-to-date basis, it's only up 28%. Is it all going to end in a bit of tears?
It depends on which meme stock it is. Most of them are really just sentiment based and very short term sentiment based. And so, you know, the Fed will suck money out of the economy or throw money into the economy. And if they do something to suck money out of the economy, then you could see that stuff, you know, you could see those meme stocks really get boring really quickly.
So what are your expectations then in terms of the Fed and what they plan to do? I mean, how much of it is going to be driven by May CPI numbers? Are you expecting inflation to be transitory or perhaps something more persistent?
Yeah, I think, I think we're going to see inflation to be sticky for a few months, okay? Probably August, September, and we've been saying this for a while. But once things are moving and there isn't the kind of delightful surprise of reopening kind of at some point in the future, and it's happening already, I think a lot of the excitement's going to fall out. There isn't that much more stimulus that can come out. And so I think we're going to hit a point where people kind of look at valuations and look at, say, revenue numbers, and are just a little bit worried. So, on the inflation side, things like ags, you know, the corn price, we expect the corn price to continue to rise through the summer, you know, soybean, these sorts of fundamentals, meats and proteins, they're going to continue to rise on supply issues. But some of these other things, like some of the metals, these sorts of things, they may fall off. You've already seen copper start to stabilize. We see some of these things that have reached a point. We're not sure that they're necessarily going to go much higher, but we think they've kind of stabilized in a zone.
And Tony, you were mentioning just now about the defizzing of equities. Does that explain why Treasuries rallied hard, 10-year yields are now at 1.49%?
Yeah, a bit. I think it does. I think people are in a lot of cash right now. I mean, you see people worried, at least some of the active investors that I know, over the last, say, 2 months, more and more of them have moved to cash because they're a little bit worried. So that's not a big call on my part saying we're going to have market fallout. It's just an observation of the more people I talk to, the more saying, look, we've really taken out of a lot of these speculative trades. And really taking it to cash.
And let's talk about oil. I mean, oil prices inching up or actually broke past the $70 per barrel for WTI. Are we going to see U.S. shale producers return in a big way, or will they take a wait-and-see approach, though?
You'll see an incremental return of shale producers. The real problem is that the OPEC Plus group has about 6.5 million barrels sitting on the sidelines. Per month. So that's accumulated, right? And so they could turn that back on anytime. So if shale starts to come back in, they start to incrementally add barrels to the market and it pushes the oil price down. So I'm not all that worried about seeing, a three-figure oil price because there's so much supply in the market and demand is coming on very slowly.
So do you think prices will be around this level? Can it break past 70 convincingly?
It can. I mean, I think you can see a little bit of upside from here, but I'm not necessarily sure that we'll see, over $80 or something like that on a sustained basis. There are a lot of people saying $100 oil. The same people when oil was in the 30s said it was going down to 20s and it would be there for the next 2 years. So, I think you get the extremes in a lot of these commodity calls, but I don't necessarily think we're going there. It's possible, but it's not within our outlook for sure.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his views on global markets. I think an interesting conversation about meme stocks, because really that has grabbed headlines. And a bit of question marks about what is driving price direction? And it's actually not fundamental. It's momentum, maybe. People just watching this and trying to make a quick buck out of it.
If you're in a different time zone, which I think Tony was alluding to, be prepared for very late nights and a roller coaster ride. So if you're during the trading day and you can monitor and you can cut your losses, I think that's the way to go. But if you're based in Asia,
but I would put a caveat. I think this is not for everyone, clearly.
Yes.
I think this is for maybe perhaps people who are a bit more sophisticated, willing to stomach the risk reward, because it could go either way.
Well, think about it, right? The there is no theme in meme stocks.
No, it's Hertz, like whatever people like.
Exactly. You've got Hertz, a car rental. You've got GameStop, a gaming business. You've got AMC, a theater. There is no connection. There is no basis to see it as a collective theme. No one is going through. Maybe they're all going through a hard time or in some form or another. But it's very hard to lay on, as what you said, Shawnee, the fundamentals.
Yeah, most of them are actually in the red they're all suffering from losses, or they're actually businesses which, like Blockbuster was one meme stock at one time, which is clearly going out of fashion. But there's some, for whatever reason, in retail participation or interest.
So it's counter-fundamental.
Yeah. Buy what you like. It doesn't have to make sense. But talking about something that markets like, Singapore's Grab has postponed the expected completion of its merger with the US SPAC. Now, this ride-hailing and food delivery giant works working on a financial audit for the past 3 years as per the requirement by the US Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, according to a statement released yesterday, The deal is now set to be completed in the fourth quarter of this year versus earlier expectations of completion in the third quarter.
I mean, Grab posted really strong numbers. Their consolidated group merchandise value rose 5.2% to USD $3.6 billion. That's equivalent to the total value of merchandise sold over a C2C exchange site. Now, with strong food delivery growth offsetting a decline in ride-hailing, the company said it didn't provide revenue or profit numbers. But Grab said in April it's said to have a market value of about $40 billion after the combination with Altimeter Growth Corp, the SPAC of Brad Gerstner's Altimeter Capital Management.
Now, the combined entity stock will trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker Grab after the completion of the deal. But I'm just going to be really curious, what's the appetite going to be like? Maybe we'll get some color in terms of really how well they're doing financially, because a lot of these type of apps, I mean, super apps, or, you know, they might have really, really very strong top line numbers, but profit might be non-existent or really, really dismal, right? Because all of these apps were basically trying to create market share at the expense of anything else.
And this is the challenge with growth stocks, where you have this risk of higher interest rates. You may not get the valuations you want. So this is the challenge. And you see the contrast between China and US. In China, as we were talking to Jack Huzi yesterday, all the IPOs were quite retail-centric. Mm. But if you see what's happening in the US, the IPOs are not so retail-centric, you know?
Yes.
They tend to be quite B2B, driving enterprise growth and all that.
Perhaps it's because it's a different market.
It's a different market, and they don't really think about growth in the way maybe China thinks about it.
Yeah, but I'm just curious what kind of valuations at the end of the day they'll get. So, but we definitely be watching this space very closely. I think this is clearly Southeast Asia's big unicorn that everyone is keeping their eye on. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.